All right, take your Bibles, if you would. Open them up to Proverbs chapter 24. We're going to read the last five verses of that chapter, starting in verse 30 and reading down through verse 34. I want to ask you the question tonight. How do you learn the lessons that God wants us to learn? How do I learn the lessons? How do you learn the lessons that God wants to teach us? You know, God wants us to grow. He wants us to mature as Christians. He wants us to be more like Christ. And we grow and we learn and we mature and we become more like Christ the more that we learn. Let's read the scripture together. Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. God has things that he wants to teach us. Lessons, life lessons, eternal lessons. He wants to teach us, again, to make us a better Christian, to be more like Jesus. And how we think about that determines how much we learn. I heard somebody say one time that every man is my teacher. Every person is my teacher. No matter who I meet, no matter who I come in contact with, I can learn something from that person. Now, I may have been a Christian longer than that person. I may be older than that person. I may have more experience in certain areas than that person. But if I have a teachable spirit, if I have my ears and my eyes open, I can learn something from everybody. I wish I could tell you tonight, and I thought about taking the time to do it, but I'm not because I want to get through the rest of my lesson, how much I have learned from the boys in my Sunday school class. You know, I tell you funny things about things they've said in our class, but there's so many times that they've said something that has caused me to look at a Bible verse or look at a Bible principle a different way. You see, they see it from a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old perspective, and they think about it with a childlike faith. And sometimes they say something that will just speak to my heart. And say, boy, I never have thought about it like that, and I think about it that way, and I can learn something. Jameson, I'll just give you one example. Jameson was the only boy I had in my class on Sunday. Darren, Mike's nephew, was visiting family. And we got through with the class. And I told Angie and Nick this Sunday night, so this is not going to embarrass you. But I said, Jameson, do you want to dismiss us in prayer? He said, sure. So we bowed our heads, and he says, God, thank you for letting me and preacher talk about Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I got to thinking, that's what we're doing in Sunday school. We're talking about Jesus. And we ought to be grateful for every opportunity that we have to talk about him. And I thought about that all, I thought about it all week. That, I mean, he got it. He saw the essence of what we're trying to do as we learn from the Bible. We're learning about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. And so I just remind you tonight that God brings people into our life. He brings situations into our life. He brings circumstances into our life so that we can learn. Learn things, that, again, that he wants to teach us. And what we read from the book of Proverbs is a good example of how we can learn sometimes from the most unexpected sources. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, the second or third king of Israel, wrote most of the book of Proverbs. And again, he was very, very wise. And yet, look at what he says. He says, I went by the field of the slothful. He said, I went by a lazy man's field. And I went by the vineyard of a man void of understanding, that had no understanding. And yet, the wisest man that ever lived said, I learned something from going by that field. Now, you wouldn't think the wisest man that ever lived could learn something from somebody that was slothful, or learn something from somebody that was void of understanding, had no understanding. But he says down there, and we read it in verse 32, he said, I received instruction. I learned something from it. And again, the things that God wants to teach us may come from the most unexpected sources. I mean, you may have come tonight thinking, well, I'm going to learn something from the preacher. And I hope you do. But you may have shook hands with somebody or had a conversation with somebody else here tonight, and that's really what God wants you to get from being here, is that thing that you got from that conversation or that thing that you got from the encouragement that they gave you. Now, you know, hopefully you'll get something from the few minutes I get to talk to you about this. But God, again, brings people into our life, situations into our life that we can learn from. And again, Solomon's a good example because, again, the wisest man that ever lived, he said, I received instruction. Now, I want you to notice four things that he said, how he learned. He says, I went by this field, and it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And then in verse 32, he said, then I saw. I saw. He said, I saw the field. I saw the thorns. I saw the nettles. I saw the wall broken down. He said, I noticed the condition of the farm. I noticed the condition of the vineyard. It would have been easy for him to walk by it. It would have been easy for him not to see it. It would be easy for him as the king to have other things on his mind so that when he went by this field and went by this vineyard and went by this wall, for him not to have noticed it. But he saw. And I was thinking, I wonder how many times God has put something in front of us, put something in our path, put something that he wants us to learn from, and we walk by it, we pay no attention to it, we don't do the first thing that we need to do to learn, we don't see. We don't see. And I would remind you tonight that our walk as Christians is not by accident or chance. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And so, for example, Jody, I don't know which way you go to work. I don't know if you go the same way every time. Maybe you do. But, or maybe you take different ways. Same is true of anybody that goes to work. I don't know if you go the same way or you go different ways. I believe that God orders the way that you go to work. You may not hear a voice and say, hey, you know, take this street, like a GPS or, you know, one of those navigators. But he tells us which way to go. Like Peggy, when you drive over to the Old Country Buffet for lunch. I don't know if you take the same way every day, but I believe God ordains. He orders the steps that we take and that he puts things in our path along the way for us to see so that we can learn from them. And if we're not careful, we'll pay no attention to them. We won't notice them and we won't see. Same as, I mean, it could be, like in this case, something in a field. It could be on a sign. It could be something that's going on. I mean, even when you get to work or where you get to where you're going, things happen. And again, we might think, well, I just saw that by accident. I just saw that by chance. And I would remind you tonight that oftentimes, when we think we see something by chance, it's by a divine appointment that God has set up in our life because he wants us to see that thing so that we can learn. And so I just encourage you tonight, don't just float through life with blinders on. thinking that, you know, that, well, if God wants me to see something, he'll hit me up beside the head with a 2x4 and put it right in front of my eyes. It doesn't work that way all the time. I mean, sometimes it works that way. But sometimes he'll put things in our path to see if we will notice and see them so that we can learn. So Solomon said, in verse 32, then I saw. And then he says, I considered it well. Then I saw and considered it well. He spent the time letting what he saw sink in to his brain. He looked at the condition of the field. He looked at the condition of the vineyard. He looked at the condition of the wall. He thought about the neglect that led to those conditions. He thought about the things that were left undone that resulted in the farm looking like that. He considered it well. He looked at the small details. Maybe he thought about what was the motivation of this farmer. I mean, why did this vineyard owner let this happen? Why did this person who owned this property that had the wall around it let the wall deteriorate it? I mean, and he asked the question. He said, what can I learn from this? What is God trying to tell me? I mean, he brought me this way. I saw this field, this vineyard, and this wall. Now, what does God want me to learn? You know, so many times we may take the first step and we may see, but we're too busy to ask to do the next step and consider it well. I mean, we see it, but we don't stop and say, can I learn something from this? Is God trying to speak to me through this thing? Yeah, we sort of lost touch with the art and the work of thinking constructively, of meditating, of trying to look beyond what we see to what God wants us to learn. And we need to do, if we're going to learn, we need to do the same thing that Solomon did. We need to purposely consider what we have taken the time to see. He saw. He considered it well. And then he says, I looked upon it. He said, I looked at it again. The first time I saw it. Then I spent some time thinking about it. Then I looked at it again. And when he looked at it again, he said, then I asked the question, what can I learn? What's God trying to show me? What are the principles that I can pick up from this, the practices or the instruction that I can take from this situation and apply it to my own life? And then he says, and I received instruction. He said, I learned the lesson. I learned the thing that God was trying to teach me to do or to teach me to avoid. He said, and he told us what that is in verse 33. He had a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. And again, what I think he was saying is, you know, if we procrastinate, if we put off doing the small things, if we don't do the things we need to do to keep things up, they're going to fall apart. The wall's going to fall down. It's going to be in disrepair. The thorns are going to grow in the field. And Solomon said, I learned that lesson, and I received instruction. Now, here's the problem. Most of us can identify real easily what other people need to learn. But we have a hard time taking the blinders off ourselves and say, well, maybe I need to learn something from this as well. And if we're going to be wise, if we're going to grow, if we're going to mature, if we're going to be more like Christ, we need to be a hungry student. We need to know that God wants to teach us something out of everything, and we need to look, we need to consider well, we need to consider well, we need to look again, and then we need to learn. We need to learn. Now, there's a couple of ways that we apply this little formula, and I want to talk about those for the next couple minutes. We can be like Solomon in this passage of Scripture, and we can learn, and again, when I'm saying learn, I'm saying to see, to consider well, to look again, and to learn. We can learn from the mistakes of others. Okay? Again, a slothful man, a man void of understanding, a man that made some mistakes that Solomon said, I've seen the results of his decisions, I've seen the results of his mistakes, and I am going to learn from them. Now, I would tell you tonight, learning from the mistakes of others is the best way to learn. It's also the cheapest way to learn. Huh? It's the cheapest way to learn. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. A wise man doesn't think that he knows it all. A wise man will let every man teach him. A wise man will look for chances to learn from others so he doesn't have to pay the high cost of learning the same lesson from the mistakes that he makes. And so, I would remind you tonight, we can learn from our grandparents. We can learn from our grandparents. I mean, I know sometimes when I was a kid, I used to think my grandpa was ancient. I mean, he'd talk about, you know, driving his horse and buggy and talk about the outhouse and all that other stuff. And so I can never learn anything from my grandpa. I don't live in the same age that he did. But I'll tell you, I learned a lot from my grandpa. We can learn things from our parents. I mean, I'm sure that many of you had the same experience I did. When I was 12 and 13 years old, I didn't think my dad knew anything. I was one of the stupidest guys that ever lived. And then I got to be 18, 19, I figured out he was one of the smartest guys that ever lived. Huh? Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. I mean, and he just didn't get smart in those 5 years. He was smart all along. He didn't have a son that realized it until the son got a little bit older. So we can learn from our grandparents. We can learn from our parents. We can learn from our Sunday school teachers. And I'll say to all the adults, even though you got a teacher that slaughters the king's English, you can learn from him. He may not be able to say it, right? But he has got wisdom behind those words. And we can learn from him. Now look, the Bible is full of illustrations of real life people that face the same situations we do. We can look at what they did and we can learn from their mistakes. And I'll just give you a few examples. We can learn from the rich person in Luke chapter 12 not to risk eternity on the world's wealth. Luke chapter 12, you can go back around about the rich man whose fields produce, and he says, well, I'm going to tear down my barns, I'm going to build bigger barns, I say to my soul, eat, drink, and be merry, because you got it made. And God came to that rich person and said, hey, tonight your soul's going to be required of you. And even though he had the world's wealth, he did not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he perished forever. Now, we need to learn from him. We need to learn that whatever this world has to offer, it will not satisfy. Only Jesus Christ will. We need to learn from Jephthah not to be rash in the vows that we make. Jephthah was that one that promised God, said, you let me win this victory, and whatever comes out of my door when I get home, first thing that comes out of my door, I'll sacrifice to you. And his daughter was the first one that came out of the door. If you're going to make a vow to God, you better think about it and not be rash about it. And then we can learn from Ananias and Sapphira, if we made a promise, we better keep the promise. I mean, they promised God and gave the impression that they were going to sell some property and give all the money to God. And they said, well, we'll just keep part of it for ourselves. We'll give it all like we were given it all, but we'll keep part of it. And they died. I mean, they just fell down dead. If you're going to promise God to do something, you need to do it. We need to learn from Gehazi not to be money hungry. Gehazi was Elisha's servant. When Elisha healed Naaman. And Naaman tried to give him some silver and some gold and some different things. And Elisha said, no, I'm not taking anything. And his servant followed Naaman after he left and said, well, my master's changed his mind. I'll take a couple change of clothing and some gold and some silver. And he brought it back, put it in his room. He went back to Elisha and said, and Elisha said, hey, don't you know that God saw you when you went out there and got that stuff? And the leprosy of Naaman came to Gehazi because he said, well, I'll get paid. I'll get the pay. We need to learn from David that there's no little sin. That little sins lead to bigger sins, and once it's like a lie. Once you tell a little lie, you got to tell bigger lies to cover it up. We need to learn from Lot not to make life decisions based on convenience and comfort. We need to learn from Dinah, Jacob's daughter, not to flirt with the world. We need to learn from Eve not to listen to the devil's lies. And you could probably name as many examples as I did tonight. I tried to pick out some familiar ones and unfamiliar ones. But we can learn all these same lessons ourselves, but they'll cost us more. And we'd be a whole lot better off to see and consider well and look and learn from the mistakes of others than to do it ourselves. But I know there'll be some people that say, well, I'm different, I'm stronger, I'm smarter, I'm more experienced. And okay, what they're saying is, I won't learn from other people. I'll learn from my own mistakes. And I understand there's some people that are like that. But I would say tonight, if you're a person who said, well, I can't learn anything from anybody else, then I would encourage you, make sure you learn from your mistakes. There's an old adage that says the only thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. We don't learn from history. We see other people mess up their lives. We see other people wreck their homes, destroy their marriages, lose their children. We do the same things that they do, and then we say, I sure didn't expect this to happen. Well, duh. I mean, if you do the same things they did and you see what happened to them, don't you think the same things are going to happen to you? I heard a definition of insanity one time. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. It's insane to do the same thing and expect something different to happen. It doesn't work that way. I've learned a lot of people that come to me for counseling, they don't want counsel. They just want somebody to listen and say, yeah, go ahead and, yeah, you've already made up your mind. Just go ahead and do it. You can learn from other people. I can't tell you how many teenagers I've talked to, and they haven't used these words, but here's what they were saying. My mom and dad are just being mean. They just don't want me to have any fun. And yet I've had many of those teenagers come back after they've made some mistakes and said, well, now I realize that I should have listened to mom and dad because they weren't just trying to keep me from having fun. They were trying to keep me out of trouble. Now, again, before you point the finger at other people, before I point the finger at other people and say, yeah, I know people just like that. They'll never learn from anybody else. They got to make the mistakes themselves. I would just say to you that probably every one of us have areas in our life that we are guilty of that. It may not be that way across the board, but there are probably areas in your life that you won't learn from them, and I won't learn from the mistakes of others. We have to do it ourselves. And so, again, if you're going to be that way in an area or two, make sure you learn from your mistakes. See, consider it well, look, and learn. Nebuchadnezzar learned about pride when he spent 7 seasons eating with the animals. God took away his reason, drove him out to live among the animals, and he learned not to have pride. John Mark learned about quitting. He quit on Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. And he learned the repercussions of quitting. He learned that lesson because later on in life, Paul said, bring John Mark with you because he's profitable to me. Peter learned that you can't warm your hands at the fire of the enemy and succeed. David learned that looking at what you're not supposed to look at will lead you to do something you're not supposed to do. Someone said, experience is a wonderful thing. It enables you to recognize a mistake when you make it again. Somebody else said, failure is the only means of starting over more intelligently. And then somebody said this, the only total mistake is the one from which you learn nothing. Now, in Proverbs, it talks about three types of people. It talks about the wise, it talks about the simple, and it talks about the foolish. Here's how I define it for you. The wise are those that learn from others. The simple are those that learn from their own experience, and the fools are those that learn from neither one. They make the same mistakes over and over and over again. And keep paying the price. Now, I was thinking about this. God wants us to learn. If we only learned one thing a week, just one thing a week, by the end of the year, we'd have learned 52 new things. Just think, 52 new things on how to order our life and how to live for God. Let's say that, you know, we got into it and we saw how good it was. And we said, well, I'm going to try to learn two new things a week. By the end of the year, you would have learned 104 new things on how to order your life, how to live for God. So let's say you start doing that. And then you get to the point where you say, hey, Lord, could you teach me one new thing a day? Just one thing. Just one thing a day. Either as I read my Bible, or as you show me something in the world, or you show me something in somebody else's life, or you give me something. If I could just learn one thing, I asked Jameson today, or just a minute ago before the service, I said, Jameson, what did you learn in school today? I need to learn something today. And he said, well, I learned about letters and numbers and science. I said, well, I think I know everything about numbers and letters. What did you learn about science? He didn't tell me nothing, so I didn't learn nothing. But just think, if we could learn one thing a day, by the end of the year, we know 365 new things that would cause us to live our life more for the Lord, to be more like Jesus. Now, one more thought, and then I'm done. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, wisest man that ever lived. In this book, he says, I'm writing this for my son. I'm writing this for my son. I want to pass down to my son the things that I've learned so that he doesn't have to learn those same things the same way I did. Because a lot of times Solomon learned by experience. You go back and read the book of Ecclesiastes. He tried a lot of different things himself, paid for those things, and learned from them. And so his son, Rehoboam, had a whole book of instruction that he should have learned from. But the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 10, Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men. He forsook the counsel. If you know the story of Rehoboam, he lost 10/12 of the kingdom, 10 of the 12 tribes to Jeroboam, and he wasn't the king that God wanted him to be. And the main reason was he didn't learn from his dad. He had the wisest dad that ever lived, and he did not learn from his dad. So again, we can be wise and learn from the mistakes of others. We could be simple, and if you're not going to be wise, at least be simple and learn from the mistakes that you make yourself. Do not be a fool. A fool learns from nobody, and he keeps making the same mistakes over and over and over again. All right, thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand, and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.